Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shepherding was one of the oldest callings for the people of Israel. Before they were able to settle down to farm, since the chosen people had traveled from place to place and living in tents, shepherding was for them first. Looking after sheep was not easy, required great skill and courage. Herds were usually large, thousands, sometimes thousands of sheep, often out in open country so they could graze. And so watching over them required a great deal of attention and care. And we know even today, although sheep can be cute and fluffy, sheep are not listed among the brightest of God's creatures. And remember, God is constantly comparing you and me to be sheep. And I don't think it's just because we can be cute and fluffy. So sheep who strayed from the flock had to be sought out. These are not just expensive animals, but you put a lot of care into them. And they have to be brought back, or else they will die. They will die. At this time in Israel, you had all kinds of wild animals that aren't there today, but were at that time. Hyenas and jackals and wolves and lions and crocodiles, even bears. Oh my. They were common, and they fed on the sheep. At night, shepherds took turns watching the sheep. We know that from the Christmas story, taking their turn watching the sheep to ward off any attackers. And they are putting their lives on the line with some of these types of predators. Sheep and their shepherds continually lived together. Their life was intimately bound up. And this is the way it was supposed to be. Now, the shepherds of Israel, mentioned by Jeremiah, were the leaders, primarily the kings and his court, but also the Jewish priests and the prophets. King, priest, and prophet were the basic leadership roles in ancient Israelite society, and each role was bestowed on the one who had it through the ritual of anointing. That's a, remember, Messiah, Mashiach, means anointed one. There were anointed ones. Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. Now, over time, as often it happens, these government and religious leaders began leading the people for their own gain, taking advantage of the sheep, the people, in order to enrich themselves. Of course, this never happens today. So you will have to use your imagination to imagine such a thing happening. So Jeremiah here prophesies two things right here in our passage. First, God says, I myself will gather the remnants of my flock. I myself. And number two, he prophesied that a branch from the line of David would come to restore what God had in mind. So listen again. Behold, Jeremiah says in the first reading, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. This is the name they give him, the Lord, our justice. The prophet Ezekiel prophesies the same. He actually lives about the same time as Jeremiah, that a good shepherd would come from the line of David. God himself, he says, would come. Just so there is no ambiguity, this is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. God himself has come to his people to gather the remnant of his flock. In the gospel, Jesus disembarks from the boat, and after it says that he looked on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It says that he began to teach them many things. The people were hungry, hungry for the word of God, hungry for the living bread from heaven, hungry for good leadership. So what is Jesus teaching? What are these many things? It's not a simple message, a sort of one and all, you know, just accept me and you can go about your lives however you wanted. It's not just be a good person. It's not anything like that. No, he teaches them many things. He teaches many things. The Gospel of St. Mark is often called the Gospel of Discipleship because it was written under persecution. You can even, as you read it, you can see that it has an urgency to it. And then Jesus did this, and immediately he did this, and immediately he did this. So it's written under persecution. The disciples, it's a book on how to be a disciple. And it is pointing out that disciples have to choose. We have to choose whose side we will be on. There is no middle road to get off the fence. The Christian life is an entire lifestyle, an entire way of living that is different from the world in which we live, from the way the world lives. So we do not conform. We are called instead to lead. We are anointed as Christ, priest, prophet, and king. This was done at your baptism. And a leader does not lead by doing just what everybody else is doing. So the Christian life, the life of the disciple, includes many things because following Jesus has implications on our lives, implications on how we shop, implications on for what we do in the bedroom, yes, implications on how we act in our job, how we raise our kids, how we talk and treat our parents, and so on. It affects every aspect of our lives because Jesus is not just anybody, and he didn't come to just redeem part of us. He is the shepherd, the living God, who has himself come to be shepherd. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock. And God, who made you entirely, you didn't make any part of yourself, wants to redeem the whole thing. And so, yes, your whole life has to be changed. Your whole life has to be affected. So at the end, when Jesus sends the apostles out into the world in that great commission, he didn't commission them to simply go, therefore, make disciples, teaching them all a few simple principles of life, a few good suggestions that they might want to follow. No, he said, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Because that is freedom. Whenever we hold back, whenever we are doing that, we're choosing things for ourselves, not what God has laid out for us that is the sure path. So let us use today's gospel as a wake-up call. If you find that you are lukewarm in your faith, wake up. Wake up now. Summon all of your spiritual strength, because eternity is too long to risk being wrong, when the answer can fill us with such a deep sense of peace and purpose, a sense of fulfilled mission. And it will come if you just take the time, make the time to read sacred scripture, to pray, be in dialogue with God, study the faith while you can. This life is not forever, and God has so many things he wants to teach us. Through baptism, we are made other Christs, like I said, other anointed ones. We were anointed at baptism as priest, prophet, and king. So let's act like it. Let us go from here, get out there, and help bring people into the flock. And you don't have to be brilliant. Jesus doesn't need PhDs and masters, though if you have one, that's great, right? But, I mean, remember the first ones he chose were fishermen, regular laborers. Remember, he calls us sheep. The smartest one of the apostles was probably Judas. And look what happened to that. So go from here to help bring people back, to bring people into the flock, seek the lost, heal divisions. In St. Paul's time, those deepest divisions were between Jew and Gentile. And that's what he's talking about, that you once were far off, but now through the blood of Christ, you have been made part of Christ. In our own day, what are our divisions? We need to look beyond the divisions in our hearts and in our culture, divisions that have even divided our parish and the church in general, East and West, the first world versus the third world, dare I say Democrats versus Republicans, the rich versus the poor, racial divides of all types, or whatever category we use to divide us from them. Jesus came to remove us versus them thinking, type of thinking, and replace it with we. We are one body, one flock, with one shepherd, God. St. Jose Maria Escrivá said, out of 100 souls, we are interested in 100. Out of 100 sheep, we are interested in the 100 sheep. In the church, the one family of God, through Jesus Christ, all of us are called to be united into the one family of God and to learn the many things Christ has to teach us, and then to go and teach them, to go and live them. You are integral in fulfilling this mission, and where you are planted is where you will fulfill it. So be a good sheep. Listen to him, the shepherd of your soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.